Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Hello, Shalom Aleichem. Welcome back to today's Daf Hayemi, Chulin Daf Tzadik Gimel. We are holding four lines from the top of the Amid. Gufa, this connects back to yesterday. Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmo, Chelev Shabosar Chayfe Oisei Mutar. So towards the back of the animal, you have the blob of fat, which is on towards the back, the top of the flanks, which is Asr. But the part that sort of penetrates into the layers of flesh below, that's okay. That's not part of the forbidden fat, which is Asr. Says the Gemara, is that true? Eini, is that true? V'amar ve'ab. Amar v'damar Shmuel. Again, he quotes Shmuel. Hai tarba, this section of fat, the tusei masni, which is beneath the hip area, is Asr. Apparently, it's not okay. And here you're telling me it's okay. Amar Abaye. Yeah, you know, this is a, right. This is the tusei masni is a bit higher than the chaylev referred to a minute ago. In the first case, we're speaking about the chaylev that's actually inside the layers of meat. The tarba, the tusei masni, is sort of above that, sitting above that area. But the Gemara is assuming it's also covered by the hip, so it's, if it's embedded inside, that's not exposed, visible, and that's not considered the chelev, which is asr. Amar Abaye, although it appears to be covered and embedded, it's not really so. Amar Abaye, behema b'chaya, behema during its lifetime, pruki mefarka, when it moves around, its limbs sort of shift, right, as it's walking, and truthfully, at that point, the section that we're talking here, the section of fat sitting on top there, is really visible. It's open, exposed. I mean, not exposed to all. It's covered by skin, but it means to say it's not covered by flesh. And that, in fact, is chela, which is forbidden. I'm Rabbi Yechanan. Likewise, Rabbi Yechanan concurs. He says, look, I'm not a butcher by trade, nor by familial, yichus. I'm not a butcher, nor a son of a butcher, but I can tell you what they used to say in the Beis HaMedrash on this topic. But here now, recall, as follows was explained in the Beis HaMedrash regarding this very portion of fat. The reason why it's asur is because behema b'chaya, behema during its lifetime, perukim afarka, shifts around. And in fact, this glob of chelev is open and exposed. Omar Rabbi Ab, Omar Vida Mashmur, chelev shalahem, says the Beis HaKosis, the chelev which is situated over and around the hemsis and Beis HaKosis, which are sections of the intestinal system, sections of the stomach, asur, and they're asur. V'onush karis, and if one eats it, he's liable to karis. V'zeu chelev shalakerev, this is exactly what the pasuk is referring to, chelev shalakerev. V'amar, Rabab Amar Rab Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Hai Tarba de Klibusta. Here's another section of fat in the back of the animal, on the tailbone there. Also, once again, that's forbidden. V'onosh Karis, there's Karis upon eating it. V'zeo, and this is exactly what the pasuk refers to as Chelev Shalak Salah. Okay, now we shift to another matter, which is Isru of Dam. One may not consume blood, typically you extracted by salting, right? But if we have these arteries, these veins, which contain blood, to be careful not to encounter that blood. So you have these little veins, blood veins, shebiyad, that are situated in the front arm of the animal, you know, in the shoulder area, asur, and they're asur. Now the Gemara figured that we're still on the chelev topic. Amar Rav Safra, so Rav Safra referred to him, he says, Moshe, called him Moshe. Because that's the way you refer to a Talmud Chacham, Moshe. Every Talmud Chacham is a little mini, has a little bit of Moshe in him, Moshe Rabbeinu in him. Mi Amar Rachmanu Le'techol Bisra? What's wrong with eating these veins? Does the Torah forbid eating flesh? Amar Rav Safra responded to him with the same endearing term, Moshe! Let me explain to you. Mi Rachmana Echol Dama. Does the Torah instruct us to eat blood? Meaning, you're right, it's not an issue of chelev, it's an issue of blood. So if you have another way to sort of extract the blood from within these veins, you're okay. For instance, chatche umalche, if you sliced it open, you salted it, that's okay. If you look at there, namishabetamidem, you could even throw it into a pot, that's okay, because once it's free of its blood, it's okay. It's a blood issue. Okay, back to chelet for a moment. Amar vida mashmol, reish ma'aya. So the beginning, the first section of the intestines as it comes out of the stomach, ba'amsa, the first ama, by greater, you have to scrape off the fat from that section, vizel, because this is the chelo shaladakin, which is asra. V'amar Rav Yehuda. Okay, back to chelov again. Chutin sheba oikitz asur. You have these fibers, right? These strings of fat, which are better than the oikitz, the backside of the animal. Those are asur. Now, how many tributaries do we have there? Actually, the total of five. Okay, you'll find five of these offshoots. Cham shechuti ispe bekafla, right? In this section, klasim yimina. Three to the right of the animal. But Tartim is smaller, and two on the left side of the animal. Now, Tlasa, Mefatzli, Tre Tre. We're not done. The three actually branch off. Each one turns into two. Tre, Mefatzli, Tlasa, Tlasa. Right? So the three branch off into two apiece. Tre, Tre. But the Tre, on the other side, you have the two branches. They branch off further, Trey Mepatzli, branch off, Tlasa Tlasa, each one turns into three. What's the point of knowing these numbers? Nafkemina is like this. Difference like this. The Yishalaf Lu Adachamimi, if you get the animal while it's still warm after the Shechita, you can just pull it out, slide it out, slides out easily. Yishalafi just slides out as a unit. You don't have to worry about anything left inside. Viloi, but otherwise, if you wait too long until it gets sort of hardened and embedded in there, Boil Chatuti Basra, you have to go and dig for them. And then you have to make sure you pulled out all these chutim. Amar Abaye, v'itei Rav Yehuda, chamsha chuti havi. There are five locations where you'll find these chutim, these tributaries, these veins, these some are issues of chelev, some because of dam. Chamsha chuti havi. T'lasam shem tarba. There are three chutim that contain chelev. V'trei mishem dam, two present a blood concern, as follows. The tachli, the chutim that you find in the spleen, or the kafli, and the flanken on the back, or the kolyasa, in the kidneys, here, there's a chelev concern, mishum tarba, whereas the yada, the ones that are found in the forearm, in the shoulder area, or the loya, throughout the cheek, the lechi of the animal, mishum dama, there's a blood concern. Nafkemina. What's the difference whether it's a chelev concern or blood? Either way, it's asur. The answer is like this. Hanid mishum dama. If it's merely a blood concern, you can extract the blood by salting it. Im mechatachlu umalachlu. If you slice them open and salt them, shabbat dama, you're good to go. But the other ones, which are chelev concerns, hanach lesu takan, you can't remedy that. That's a forbidden matter. Om rav gana. Vitei misam ser v'yuda. Chamsha kar mihabu. Speaking about lists of forbidden matters in the animal, we have five membranes that are forbidden. Tlosa Mishim Tarba, three on account of chelov content. Tzvei Mishim Dama, two on account of blood content. And he explains, the tachli, the membrane around the spleen, the kafli, membrane found over the flanken, the kliyos around the kidneys, Mishim Tarba. That's on account of the chelov content, the bay, the membrane around the testicles, the micro, around the animal's brain, Mishum Dama, that's a blood concern. Rabbi Yehuda Bar Oishia, what did he do? Have a kakolafle tachla. So he took a tchoil, took a spleen, and peeled off the membrane, but only the top part. On top it's like wide, and then it sort of narrows as it comes down. And he did it for Levi, the Levi Bray, the son of Rav Huna Bar Chiya. Have a kagoyim le miloy. So he was just merely peeling off the upper area. So Levi says to him, hey, go down further, take the bottom, you know, slice off the bottom membrane as well. So Levi's father suddenly appears, Ashkechei, and he, you know, encountered this this story. He sees what's going on. So he turned to his son, he says, not to worry, don't, you don't have to tell him to do more. Hachi Omer, I have a quote from your own grandfather, Abu Dimach, the father of your mother, Mishum, the name of Rav, Umani, who was the grandfather, Rav Yirme Baba. He says, Le'ostro, territory only forbade the material which is on top, Al Shaladav, the wide section of the spleen, but not only there. Says the Gemara Eini, is that so? V'amar, Rav Amnuna. Rav Amnuna taught, I say, Bryce, a ton. Krum Shalat Chol. So the membrane enwrapped on the spleen, asur, is forbidden. There's no kares, there's no liability. She shouldn't eat it, but it's not really asur min ha-toyr. Now, which section of the membrane are we talking about? Ilema shaladad, we speak on the white part. Amai ein chayim an olav. Why is no liability? Why is no kares? That's the chelav shal gabi akerev, that they're, you know, forbade. Because it's connected to the stomach there. Ela de kule, rather the Bryce is speaking about the bottom section of the membrane. Amar lei, so clearly, even though it's mutter min ha-toyra, but midrabanan, it's close enough to the iser, we forbade. Amar lei, so he says, okay, so Rav Huna told his son, got it, okay, itanya, if he found the brisa, that way, tanya, fine, I concede. And refrain from the entire membrane. Gufa, let's go back to this. Halacha, Amar Rav Huna, he quoted a brisa, tana, krum shal ha-tchol asur ve'chayivan alav. So this membrane is asur, but there's no liability, there's no iser min ha-toyra. The Brisa continues. Krum shalgabi kulya, the membrane which wraps around the kidney, is asur vein chayev an olav. Again, it's asur min rabbanon, but there's no liability min atayra. Ask the Gemara, really? Batani, we have a Brisa, chayev an olav. He is liable to kares upon eating these membranes. That's a contradiction between one Brisa and the other. Answers the Gemara, depends what we're talking about. Tchoyot chole kashya, you can resolve the apparent contradiction between the two brises regarding the membrane on the spleen. Ha keneged hadad, ha shalik keneged hadad. The brise which holds him liable min atar, that's the part on top, that's the white part. The other brise is speaking on the narrow area on bottom. It's only midrabbanan. And likewise, kulya kasha regarding the contradiction regarding the kidney membrane. Again, habi la, the brise which holds him liable min atar, which considers it forbidden min hatar be lo, is speaking about the membrane which is on top of the kidneys, which contains chelav min ha-toyra, ha betato. But there's another membrane beneath that, and that's only asur midrabbanan. Okay, be'icha shilasa. Speaking of forbidden matter, here is another example. We have bei, the male, beitzim, the testicles of the animal. Shechashilasa, that had been detached. They sterilized the animal, detached the items, and they're still in the sack, but they're detached from the actual body of the animal. Can one consume that or not? Is that considered Iver Menachai? Rav Ami, Rav Asi. There was a machlekes, Chad Asar, Chad Shari. So after Shechita, one said it's okay, Shari, and the other one said it's Asar. What's the basis for this machlekes? Return to Amid Beis. Manda Asa, the one that forbade consumption of this matter. Why? Because it had been detached during the animal's lifetime. That's your classic Eva Menachai, Medulei Kabarim. I'll even prove to you that it's been detached. Medulei Kabarim, the fact that it doesn't regenerate Hani, Eva Menachai Nino, since it didn't recover, apparently it was detached. It's considered a limb off a live animal. It's Asur, Eva Menachai Nino. However, Manda Shari, the one that permits this material, disagrees with the Leica Master on the fact that it doesn't spoil, it doesn't, you know, disintegrate, but still maintains itself in there. Apparently there's still some life, there's still somewhat of an attachment. It's not considered fully severed. The other one responds to that. Hi, the Leica Master, the reason why it doesn't spoil, the Leica Shalt Buavir, it's not exposed to the outside ear, it's protected. But otherwise, it is really detached from the animal. The other one responds, Hidele Bari, and you're proving from the fact that it doesn't regenerate, that are certainly weakened, certainly injured, but technically it's still living off the animal, and it's considered part of the animal. Amar le Rabbi Yochanan, Rav Shama bar Abbas, he told him, Hani beicha shel asav, if you encounter this type of material, sharia, technically you can eat it, because here in Eretz Yisrael they eat it. Va'at le teichel, but you that come from Bavel, don't eat it. Mishum va'altito yish teres emecha, don't abandon the customs, the practices of your mother, of your family. If that is the minhag in Bavel, you have to act accordingly. Amar mar bar Rav Ashi. Here's another related topic. Hani bei de gadi. These testicles of a young goat. So the goat was shechted. Atlas in yoimin. If it's still within 30 days of birth, sharim le kilipa. You can eat the item without peeling off any membranes. There's no blood there. It's still too young. It's not fully developed to have a blood concern. Past that point, past 30 days, you have to examine to ascertain whether there's blood. Azron, if you notice the zera, semen inside, asura, and then, you know, there's blood on the membrane surrounding it. Viloiba, otherwise, if there's no loy azron, they haven't developed the zera, sharyan, it's okay for consumption without removing anything. How would you know? How would a unlearned person know where it's holding? There are telltale signs of blood content. You have these sumki, red, shiraiki streaks around it. Asura, you know the membrane contains blood. Less shiraiki, sumki, if there's no red streaks, shari, you know it's okay. Okay, speaking about blood concerns, unse. So you have a piece of pieces of meat here, which exhibits some sort of blood clottingness. So you have a blood clot in there. Now typically, blood is not an issue. You just salt it, that extracts the blood. But there's a blood clot in there. Makes it difficult to extract easily. You can't just salt it. In which case, how do you deal with this piece of meat? Umtze. Beye, eggs. So we're speaking about the eggs of the zachar, which again exhibited reddish marks. Umizrake. A third issue would relate to the viridin, these arteries, the neck arteries, which have a high blood content. How do you rid them of blood? So these were subject to machlekes. Pligibo, Rav Acha, Ravina. Rav Acha and Ravina have a dispute regarding how to deal with the blood issue on these items. Now, interestingly, B'chol HaTorah Kula, throughout the entire Shas, Ravina is Lekula. Ravina takes a lenient approach. That's his perspective on Torah, almost like Beshil Meshamai. Beshil always went Lekula. Rav Acha, on the other hand, he was always Lechum, always strict. And how do we proceed? So the conclusion is always Ravina, Lekula, we take the lenient approach of Ravina. Except, Levar Mahari Plas, except for this instance, these three items, the cut of meat with the blood clot, the eggs and the arteries. The Varmahani class, where their opinions switched around, interestingly. The Rav Acha takes a lenient approach. Ravina, he goes the Chumra. And again, Vilchasa, in this case, we go Lekula, Rav Acha Lekula. Okay. So what exactly are we talking about? What's the issue at hand? Umtza de Asmik, a cut of meat, which is exhibiting blood clottingness. So now, the easy way out is Chatcha Umalcha, he chopped it open, he salted it properly, and it's fine. Because he accessed the blood, and it's gone. Afilu kader nami shabridami, that's a proper process, even for cooking, throwing it into your pot. Shabridami. On the other hand, tali nami bishfuda, likewise, if he hung it up on the spit, from the roaring fire, the fire extracts the blood. Doiv dama. So the blood is extracted, and it rolls, it trickles down, there's no issue there. So what's subject to machlagis? Ah, gumri, he did something sort of in between. On coals. He has it sitting on coals. So you have pretty intense heat, but it's not like a fire. And really the blood sort of gets trapped in it because it's sitting on something, sitting on a surface. So that's the machlagis. Pligibom. And that we have the machlagis between Rav Acha and Ravina. Chadamar, one says it's okay. Mishav shai shivile. The heat of the coals extract, they suck out whatever blood is in there, even if it's a blood clot, it's intense enough heat that can do that job. Adam said just the opposite. The heat has the opposite effect. Mitzmah samsile. It hardens it. It gets it stuck in there. It gets it encased. And the same exact issue we have, v'chein bei, v'chein mizruki, the other two items. Okay, next, halacha reisha. B'kivsh. Rashi explains that they would take the head of an animal and they would embed it in hot, you know, ashes so that it, the hair gets singed, and that's how they would clean the head. Problem is, there's blood in the head. Blood is not going anywhere. It's getting sort of entrenched inside the head. It makes it asr. Reisha b'kivsh, the head embedded in ashes. What do you do there? Is there an issue of blood getting absorbed in the meat and making it asr? Well, again, it depends on the angle. Interestingly, it depends how you put it. So if you place the head of the animal on the cut of the beis hashchita, so let's say you have the okay, let's say this is the head of the animal, okay, and this is where you cut. This is the beis hashchita. So you place it like that, bottom down. Great, blood just trickles out of the bottom, and you're good to go. Dive them, so the blood is dive, just trickles out, drains out the shoulder, and the head is okay. That's done. And on the other hand, if you place it on its side, then the blood just sort of pulls on the sides and just gets stuck and embedded in the flesh. That's a problem. That's done. The mikvah cup, it gets hardened, it gets embedded in the actual flesh. But also, that's a problem. That's also. Let's say, here are the nostrils, okay? Nostrils are really passageways, but they're not clear passageways. So you place it on its nostrils, surrounded by this heat, then it really depends. If you inserted something into the nostrils to open up the channels, to keep it open, shari, that's okay, because the blood trickles out. Below, otherwise, also. There's another version of this halacha. Either placed it on the chira on its nostrils down, or on the besa shchita doiv, the blood would drain out. There's no issue there. At staden, however, placed it on its side, then it depends. Idatz be midi. If he punctured the bottom facing, you know, side of the head with something, poked something in there, so that the blood has a way to drain out. Then shari, then it's okay, because it can drain out even from that hole. Otherwise, it's asr, because the blood gets trapped inside and it forbids the material. Okay, now back to Gidan Hashem. Amar Avida Amar Shmo. Shnei Gidan Hein. There are a pair of nerves back there. So there's a set of sciatic nerves. One is asr, Menatoyer, one is not. Shnei Gidan Hein. Pnim is Amach La'atzim asr. The one that's internal, runs along the bone, that's asr min atayr b'chayev and alav. It's asr and there's liability for that. Whereas chitz and samal chabasa, the outer one, which is more on the surface, up on the flesh, asr, it's asr min rabbanon, because it's, you know, close to the original, b'chayev and alav, there's no chayev and atayr. Atani, Rabbi Brisa, which seems to say the other way around, seems to describe them differently. Pnimi, the internal one, is samach l'basar, along the basar, that's the pnimi. And here we say it's along the bone. Amar Vacha, Amar of Kahana, you know, it sort of takes twists and turns, and sometimes it's along the bus turns. Iklude Miklid, it's like a key in the keyhole. So it sort of takes, you know, curves around. And although generally the inner one runs along the bone, but at a certain point it doesn't count to the busser and goes through that. So that's what the Bryce was talking about in the second Bryce. About Tanya, you have another Kasha from another Bryce, which talks about the Chitzain, the external one, which according to our version, ran along the basar, and the Brisa here calls it Hasamach La'etzen, right near the bone. How does that work? At a certain area where the generally it's running along the basar, but at a certain point it does sort of encounter the bone, where the butchers open the animal, they open it up. That's the, you know, at the edge over there, you'll see the external sciatic nerve running along the bone, but in general it's along the basar. Okay, itma. Here comes an interesting question. Let's say, you know, the butcher sold you meat, vouching for its kashrus. He's also a menaker, right? He's meant to remove the ginanasha and any forbidden fats. He's the expert. And suddenly you take it home, you find the problem there. You find forbidden matter. Does he get penalized for this oversight? Do you consider it negligence? Does he get fired? I mean, what happens? Itmar, tabach. A Jewish butcher, shenimtza chelav achrov. You find chelav in his product. Ravid Amar, because the Ira. If the portion of fat was the size of a barley kernel, that's all. That's enough to hold him accountable. Rabbi Yechon Amar Kazayis, unless it's the size of a Kazayis, Amar Apopopopli Plig, there is no Machlekes. They're talking about different ramifications. Kan Lal Koisei, in terms of giving him Malkus, Malkus Mardus, Rabbanu will actually lash him. That only happens if you find a large portion the size of a Kazayis. That's an expression of true negligence. But Kan Labroi, in terms of deposing him, for that even a small piece is enough to hold him accountable. Amar Masur Trub, because Soer Makam Echad has different pshat in explaining these two shiurim. He says like this. He says, if it's in one spot, right, if you find a granule of chelev, even the size of a Soer, if it's in one spot, concentrated in one area, that's a significant infraction. Whereas if it's so that's what he talked about. He spoke about a kazayis makam echad. The other one who spoke about a kazayis. Why is a kazayis required? That's kazayis. I feel bebeiz ubegimol mekaymes. He was talking that you found little granules, little specks of chelev. But if the total mass of all that equals a kazayis, then he's in real trouble and he loses his job. Okay, so according to this pshat, we're speaking about a question of firing him, and it depends. If it's in one area, even a kesa'ira is bad enough, but if it's dispersed, okay, and each one is a little teeny speck, so then you can't penalize him to this extent unless you find a sum total of a kazayis. Vilchasa, what's the conclusion? Al kesa'ira b'kazayis, la'avri b'kesa'ira. If you find a kazayis, he gets malchus. If you find merely a sa'ira, then he merely loses his job. Okay, so back to the Mishnah. Can we even trust a butcher? So the Mishnah says that there's a machlokes actually, right? So the Mishnah starts off by saying you can't trust the butcher, because Rashi explains it's a big tircha, it's a big job to go, dig and find all the elements of a Gira Nasha, that's Rameir Shita. Chacham say, yeah, you can trust them. Neman and Olav al Achelev, you can trust them regarding extraction of Gira Nasha and also regarding extraction of Chelev. Omar Rabchir bar Abba Rabbi Yechon. Chazulay ma Neman. Although, initially, we went with Rameir Shita that you can't trust the butcher, it's too strenuous of an undertaking, you're not going to, initially, but later on, Chazur Leymar, the next version of things was that, yeah, Ne'emanan, that you can trust the butchers. Omar of Nach, what happened? Everybody became from. Achshur Dari, generation, improved in their standards, meaning until now you can trust him. And now suddenly everybody's trustworthy. What happened? How did that switch come about? Says the Gemara, no. It's just a matter of the required scope and degree of difficulty. You see, initially, it was a hard job because we adopted Rameir's strict view in terms of how far-reaching is the Gira Nasha. Remember, Rameir holds that it goes all the way in. It has fibers and microfibers. And that's a big job. You can't trust him. He's in a rush. He's not going to do it meticulously. But later on, we went with the Chacham. Let's see. Meikara initially stabru savri lo kira Rameir. We had followed our mayor's opinion in terms of the scope of Gira Nasha, which was pretty big scope, big job. We couldn't trust the butchers; right? They weren't trusted for such a big job. But then they switched to Rabbi Yudashita, who says you only have to shave off the top of the Gira Nasha, so it's a relatively simple task. So for that, we can trust the butcher. Iko the mas la seifa. Some had this discussion relating to the next part of the Mishnah. You can trust the butcher regarding removal of Gira Nasha, also Chelev. On that, yeah, that was in the good old days, but now they turned around and said, no, you can't trust. On that, we have Amar of Nachman who followed on that and says, nowadays we do trust them. Ask the Gemara, So what happened? Suddenly, in the time of Rav Nachman, everybody became, you know, righteous. Why would you suddenly trust people? Achshu Dari says the Gemara, no. Look, I'll tell you what happened. Meikara. So broke Rav Yehuda. Initially, the Shita followed Rabbi Yehuda. So when the Chachamim and the Mishnah say you can trust the butchers because Mikara Sabrok Rabbi Yehuda, we want like Rabbi Yehuda, that it's an easy job, it's a simple shave, so why not trust the butcher who says he did it? But then what happened? Hadar Sabrok Rabbi Meir. And then things switched. In the time of Rabbi Yechanan, they adopted Rabbi Meir's more strict view in terms of how far you have to dig to get the Gidon Hashem. It's a bigger job. Now, theoretically, you would trust the butcher. Why not? I mean, this is what you have to do. He would do it. But the issue was that there were some old-timers that still chose to follow the old version of things, the easy shaving-off system, a review system. So now you couldn't trust people because maybe this butcher is taking the easy route. Kama dava dechirla the Rabbi. As long as there were some butchers who still recalled Rabbi Yehuda's Shita and went along with that easy job, like Mamis, you couldn't trust them because perhaps he took the easy route. But later on, that sort of dissipated. And now everybody, all the butchers, adhere to the new, more strict standard of Gidon Hashem removals. Now you can trust them. Because in theory, we trust them. As long as he knows what to do. Now that they abandoned Rabbi Yehuda's approach, meaning they adopted the more strict view, and everybody knows, and everybody does, Mamis, you can trust them. So this is all regarding the Gidon Hashem. And likewise, you can trust him regarding chelev removal. Chelev on the Char Shemei. Why the Chachamim countering with chelev, meaning Rameh just mentioned the Gidon Hashem. It's our job, we can't trust him. Who says Rameh would have any opinion, any position regarding chelev? Chelev on the Char Shemei. Like Amar. Actually, the mission is meant to be learned like this. Rameir referred to Chelev as well. Ein emanan al olav, they're not trusted regarding gid removal, but al chelev regarding chelev removal as well. Come the Chacham and say, yep. The Chacham ayrim, emanan al olav, al chelev, we trust them on the gid and on the chelev as well. Okay, so in summation, we discussed the various locations in the animal where we have chelev issues, we have dam issues, we discussed chutim, chutim al chelev, chutim al dam, various membranes, extraction of blood in difficult to extract situations. And we discussed the parameters of Nehmanus, trustworthiness of the butchers regarding Gid and Chelev removal. All the best to you and Atzlachar.